This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is Tyler Guyton about to break out? All thanks to Tyron Smith. More on that here in just a second in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Before we get to Tyler Guyton, he will be blocking ahead of God knows who as starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys this year. Right now, if I was to lean a certain way, we were talking about this out at practice a couple weeks ago, that if you were going to lean a certain way, you were probably saying Javonte Williams would probably start. There'd be some Jaden Blue in there, and then whoever else made the cut out of training camp. I will say it's early, and it's really tough to judge the running back position when you're out at OTAs and there's no contact or anything else. Miles Sanders does look better than Javonte Williams. And so if it's just on merit and how they look, and if it continues to progress the way it has into training camp, I don't see how you would be able to say that Javonte Williams was a better option. Now, the only thing that might give Javonte Williams a boost over Miles Sanders in that sense is fully orbed game of being, that's a guy who will catch 50 passes out of the backfield too. And Miles Sanders isn't necessarily going to do that. So if you want that added benefit, you can take it.
Man, Miles Sanders started off his career in Philly at 4.6 a carry, 5.3 a carry, 5.5, 4.9. He was rushing for 800 or 1,000 yards, 1,200 yards in 2022 every single season. And then he goes to Carolina, 3.3 a carry, 3.7. The best offensive line in football. There's a stat. There's your running back argument right there for the offensive line determining. 5.3, 3.3. Philly, Carolina. There you go.
And he is
about 25, 26 catches a year.
Right, and it's something where he immediately got to Carolina and just looked like inept and couldn't do much. That's why a lot of it is, you're right, it's going to be based on what you can have blocked out in front of you. There are some margins you can pick up on your own, but largely you're looking at what is blocked ahead of you and then how much of that meat do you leave on the bone. So PFF had their ranking out of the top 32 running backs. They've been doing this with every position, the top 32 at every position. So it's like, here's basically, there's 32 teams. Here's somebody who could start for every team, essentially.
I heard the quarterback list is a doozy.
The quarterback list was not great. Throwing Dak Prescott in the bottom half of the league. 17.
Yeah, good enough to do a couple times.
Yeah, it is. There you go. See, there's your sideswipe for the day. over at PFF, though, they ranked the top running backs. And as I was like searching through it, I didn't expect to see a Cowboys runner on here. There isn't one. But as I was searching through it, I just kept looking at it going, this looks like a nightmare list for Cowboys fans for everybody that they've wished for or thought they were close to getting over the last few years. The number one running back in the NFL, Derrick Henry. Ugh. Even above Saquon Barkley at number two. Number three, not a guy they ever thought they were going to get, but somebody who thought maybe if he could drop down a little bit, Bijan Robinson. Number six, already on this list, is Bucky Irving with the Buccaneers. Bucky Irving was a guy that if the Cowboys had their picks and hadn't traded them away with the Trey Lance trade, things like that, Bucky Irving very well may have been their pick at running back that year.
Ugh.
And they end up missing out on him. So you go down the list and go, okay, all right, we've got Bucky Irving now. Then you've got Ashton Jeanty at 13. Already they're putting him at 13 before he even plays a snap in the NFL and saying he's the top one. 15, Breece Hall.
Do you hate when they do that?
No, because I mean, they are trying to project out a little bit. It's just, I don't know what criteria. For a place like PFF that uses so much of their own grading criteria to carry over what the list is the next year, I don't know how they rank rookies. That's always puzzling to me.
You clearly hate it. I don't necessarily hate it. I just have, like, I look a little sideways at it. Like, how are we doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you didn't like the Julio Rodriguez praise instantly or some of the other ones where you put Trevor Lawrence up near the top very early.
And isn't Chip Kelly already trying to change Ashton Jeanty in Vegas?
Well, yeah, so they moved. They called it the Halloween, the Michael Myers pose, the Halloween pose.
They said he, if you, it's crazy. If you go look at some of his game film,
you can just do it on the fan cam.
Yeah, he's standing up. Like, he's not in a stance with his hands on his knees. He's literally standing up like he's Michael Myers, like holding a knife, just like where you, the classic shot of, like, you just see him in the background. Like, there he is, just standing.
Yeah.
And they're like, dude, you've got to be in some kind of an athletic stance. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah. And how did nobody at Boise say anything?
But why?
It was intentional. No, that was an intentional, like, that was an intentional set that they had him take. I don't know. I don't know if they've ever explained it, but that was detailed. That was all the running backs were doing it at Boise.
But why change it?
And it's on the fan cam right there. That's literally how he would stand about ready to take the handoff.
Why change it?
I mean, I think for a lot of people, you're talking about, like, you need to get down in your stance, be in your 2-point stance so that you can go take the ball. It's like,
he's comfortable like this. It's obviously worked. I wouldn't mess with it.
It has worked, and that's the one thing that I would push back on if I was him. I was like, guys, you drafted me here.
Yeah.
Don't change me when you draft me. Now,
I want him feeling comfortable.
You want him feeling comfortable. Obviously.
Are you going to sell me that it's giving away runs or passes? You're going to have to sell me on that to make me change it.
I think it's more about just the explosiveness out of the stance. They feel like if you're in that kind of crouch 2-point set, you can burst a little better than just from an upright position like that.
Well, within his first second and a half, he may be in the position that you would be with knees bent and hunched over a little.
I guess I would say
I'm not doing this because this guy just died, but the sports science guy died, and it made me think of it. I would like to see within the first 2 seconds someone in a running back stance, how their body motion gets to where coaches want them to be athletically versus Gentes. I would guess they're ending up at the same exact spot at the time when they're getting the football. Or how much time is Ash and Gente losing in standing more upright?
Right.
That's a sports science thing to me.
I would say I would look at it.
It has to be enough to win out over his comfort level.
Yeah, I would have to look at it like runner on first. When they're going to steal second, they're already kind of crouched a little bit. They're in an athletic stance. So they don't have to, you know, when they start running, they just turn, they pivot and they go. Or a sprinter, right? A sprinter is down in that 3-point stance as opposed to standing upright.
Yeah.
Although I guess they stand upright for some cross-country runs, but.
Yeah, I think it's probably just related to activating the quick twitch muscles quicker, like just being able to explode out of it faster. But
I'd be like,
still,
Chip Kelly, I'm going to be here longer than you, bro. So you may want to listen to me.
Yeah, he has said that it makes him see better. Okay.
He's a short guy.
Yeah.
He's a little guy. Breece Hall is number 15 on this list from PFF of the top running backs. Number 18, Tony Pollard, who you said goodbye to just a couple of years ago. 19, Aaron Jones, another guy that Cowboys fans said, can we at least make a phone call on the guy? 24, Omarion Hampton with the Los Angeles Chargers, who was mocked pretty frequently to the Dallas Cowboys. Quinshon Judkins at 27 from Ohio State, who the Cowboys entered day two really liking him and being interested in him. Right behind him, Travion Henderson, the Ohio State running back with the New England Patriots. And then number 30, Tyrone Tracy with the Giants, who was a guy that the Cowboys were like, all right, that's our last back here. And he got snatched up when they were in that purgatory zone a couple years ago. So a little bit of a rough look at where running backs are across the NFL right now, because there are about a dozen guys on that list that you look at and go, Dallas, it felt like, was within range to do something about all of these guys, and now you've got nothing.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This Pride Month, Risk has stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get the Risk podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, like you said, Sean, you can fix this, a lot of this, as long as your blocking is better. And Brian Schottenheimer had talked last week, kind of went out of his way to bring up Tyler Guyton.
By the way, where was Jahmyr Gibbs on that? My favorite running back?
Jahmyr Gibbs was in the top 10. He was at number 4.
Okay, behind Bijan.
Yep. So he's behind Bijan, Saquon, and then Derrick Henry. Tyler Guyton got a lot of praise last week from Brian Schottenheimer as being, hey, he was one of the first ones right in the building during the offseason program. He's been in here working really hard. He's had a fantastic offseason. So he got a chance to talk to reporters on Thursday, and he was asked about why were you so aggressive getting in here and attacking this offseason?
I had a lot to prove. I had a lot to work on. You know, I didn't do too good last season. I want to do better. I want to be the guy to be depended on. I mean, of course, there's going to be ebbs and flows, but I understand that, you know, it already happened and it's in the past, and I'm going to move forward from it and learn from my mistakes. I'm not going to make any excuses. I just didn't play as good as I needed to last year, and I'm coming with a different attitude this year to become a better player.
Which I think a lot of, again, the concern last year with Guyton was, like we're talking about earlier with Jack Leiter, for instance, it was mindset. And, like, how much are you, like, actually mentally built and ready for failure and for struggles? Because that's a Mozzie problem. Mozzie hangs his head too quickly.
Yes.
And it's something that I think they got a little better at last year. You hope that it's good this year. But I think Guyton had a little bit of the hang your head syndrome.
Guyton has cleaned up the diet. No more fried or fast food. Lots of steak, salmon, and vegetables. And the most difficult thing for him to give up. Do you know, Bobby?
I do.
All right. It's a fast food chop. I didn't know about it till I moved here. And the thing that threw me off about this place has something to do with their sauce. Those are my clues for you.
Something to do with their sauce. Oh, Cane's.
Yep. That was his.
Nailed it.
That was his most difficult give up.
Okay. Raising I can see Cane's. That. I mean, it's good. I like it.
Which he even said, he was like,
crinkle fries. I love crinkle fries.
He had mentioned it. He was like, you know, it wasn't even really difficult to give anything up. He's like, but Cane's, he's like, I would just get a Caniac combo and crush that, and it was no problem. But he was at both of the retirement press conferences this year for Zach Martin and Tyron Smith. He had obviously been a teammate of Zach Martin's, but Tyron Smith, he didn't know him, and yet he still showed up, and he was asked about showing up to that and how he was inspired by Tyron's presser.
I feel like I almost got emotional watching Tyron Smith because, you know, that's a guy that I look up to. And, you know, I want to follow in his footsteps and being a great Dallas Cowboys left tackle. So, you know, hearing his legacy stretch across a decade is just extremely a blessing. And I want to fit that mold. So I learned a lot from him, actually. I watch a lot of his tape and I listen to the things that he says in his pressers and how he carries himself, how he takes care of his body. His strength is a big part of his game. So getting stronger is going to help you do anything on the football field. So that's the main thing.
It's funny. He said, I listened to his pressers. I learned a lot. He did. Oh, boy. Tyler Guyton was, he was brief on Thursday with his, a lot of those that we just played, that's like three or four answers that were like, here they are with the questions cut out so that you can just hear him put together the whole thing. But definitely more reserved. Seems more comfortable. Like seems more comfortable.
More reserved, but more comfortable?
Like in terms of just, I think he's focused. He's focused on, all right, I'm here. I understand what the offseason program is like. I'm coming in here to work. I'm not coming in here to do anything else other than just focus and get things done. And I think the Cowboys have a really good history of offensive linemen locking in and focusing and taking year two jumps. Tyron did it when he was younger, but Terrence Steele's done it in recent years. Tyler Smith took a big jump. You got it. I mean, obviously, Zach Martin came in ready to play right away, but Lyle Collins did that for you. So I think personally, there's reason for optimism on Guyton. Because, I mean, I don't know about for y'all, but for me, I thought it was a little nuts that we went from him just stonewalling Micah Parsons on several practice reps in Oxnard, and we're all floored by that, to just after one season that was kind of in the dumpster to begin with, going like, the guy can't play, he's a bust. We need to figure out something else at left tackle.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
And I think it's because, though, the recent experience with Jalen Tolbert.
We're used to first round, especially offensive linemen around here, coming in and being pro bowlers.
Well, and in recent years, you've seen a Jalen Tolbert who struggled right out of the gate and then didn't change it. Mozzie Smith struggled right out of the gate and didn't change it. And so now I think they're just like, this is third year in a row. This is another guy. How can we bank on this?
B-Lo.
D-Belt.
Every single day at this time on the home of the Dallas Cowboys. And we are also your home of the Texas Rangers with a Rangers ticket giveaway every single day during the 720 Expressway. Congrats to the Tolo who won that. Don't get too angry at me. I'm just brainstorming, but I'm really considering the Rangers trading Jake or Jack next.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. A podcast all about human connection and radical honesty. All through June for Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. You'll laugh, cry, and maybe even end up feeling a little bit better. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.